So all good things must come to an end. And the shepherds have been kind enough to give me two opportunities to go through this review with you. I found as a student in high school and the time I spent in college that reviews are so important. You learn something and you take a test on it. And for me, 2 weeks later, I might have forgotten half of it. And it drives me crazy. It's a part of me that I really am not happy about, but it is what it is. And I don't know if that is the way it is for you, but a review is always extremely helpful. And I wanted to condense this review into two studies. I'm going to go through these briefly. I'm going to try and highlight the main points of what we've talked about for the last 8 months. I'm guessing maybe April or May when we started this study. So what we've accomplished in that period of time, I want to review today, and then on Wednesday, we'll finish lessons 6 through 11. So our first, can I have the clicker? No, never mind, Steve. No, it's okay. Our first point that I want to make is that every week I wanted to give you a thought, something to think about, something to tell yourself, something to meditate on. It's so important that our minds are operating in a way that we're constantly thinking about how we can better ourselves, how we can ensure we've got a solid relationship with Christ. And so those few points I wanted to just review with you very briefly here. We talked about the thoughts to encourage. Are you living the life of a disciple? Do we fight the devil or do we let him in? How deep are your roots? What do I struggle with the most? How do I fight temptation? What will be my victory this week? What have I done to help others? Pray every day. What does Jesus think of me? Who do I see when I look in the mirror? Am I a child of God? Or I am a child of God, and I wanted you to tell yourself that. And I am never alone. God is always with me. And there are other ones that I didn't put up here that we might look at on Wednesday. But I wanted you to ask yourself these questions or remind yourself of these important things, that I am a child of God. Pray every day. Pray every day. We talked about it when you get up. Talk about it in difficult times. Talk about it throughout the day. Pray when you need to pray. So this was very important as part of the study. Because as we learn what it is to be a disciple of Christ, most of us know this. It's basic stuff, but then do we dive into it and do we think about it? Do we meditate on it? Do we discuss it? I've always found that discussions with brethren can be extremely profitable, especially one-on-one. When you come to realize something and you want to share it with a brother or a sister and you have that discussion, sometimes it's a, wow, I did not realize that. It's a fantastic opportunity. So it's so important that we build ourselves up, that we know who we are, that we follow the basic principles that Christ has laid out for us. So let's begin. The life of a disciple, lesson number one. What is a disciple? It's a student who learns from a teacher or master. And we know who our teacher and master is. It's Jesus Christ. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. Reminding us that as a disciple, we must make ultimate sacrifices. And then I posed the question during our class, is it really a sacrifice if you're following Christ? Because everything else in the world, the value of that is insignificant compared to your relationship with Christ. How can we know whether or not we are truly disciples of Christ? How can we know that? If we're following and obeying and living a life according to his word. So what is required? We must deny self. We must be willing to make the sacrifices or things that you might consider to be a sacrifice. Deny the things we may want for Christ. We're denying the longings for things of this world because we want to be with Christ. Our hearts can deceive and draw us away. So we have to be conscious about that too as disciples. Not to be drawn away by our own desires and our own lusts. We must be willing to suffer for Christ. As disciples, we suffer, we learn from Christ, we bear fruit for Christ, we love our brethren. One of the key commandments, to love. And we commit ourselves to follow Christ 100%. When we're buried in baptism, we come up as a new creature, a new child of God. We are making a commitment. We want to be called a disciple of Christ. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. I'll begin in verse 25. Now great multitude went with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Total sacrifice. Now we discussed the fact that the word hate in this context isn't talking about me hating somebody or hating you or hating my parents or hating my, you know, siblings or whoever it might be, but we have to be aware that we have to put Christ first in all things, first and foremost. If I'm called to make a sacrifice as a disciple of Christ, if I'm called to make a sacrifice and have to walk away from something that means so much to me, then I have to do that in order to stay on that right path. Letting go of what seems impossible. Walking away from those that mean the most to you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. So where is Christ? As a disciple of Christ, is Christ first in your life, second in your life, third in your life? If he's anywhere other than number one in your life, it's time to re-examine your relationship with Christ and maybe adopt some of those things that we talked about, praying, acknowledging that you are a child of God, doing the things that we need to do to ensure we put Christ first in our lives. Lesson number two. We talked about the disciples' commitment, and we made the example of an athlete and how an athlete is so committed to what they do in training for whatever that might be. Because a true athlete is going to commit themselves so that they can be successful. And we as Christians also commit ourselves to Christ so that in the end, that reward is there for us. We all should long for that reward. We should all work. So what is a commitment? What is a commitment? It's sacrificing. Is it sacrificing for Christ? But what is a commitment? It's committing to something. And as children of God, as I mentioned a moment ago, when we become children of God, we are making that soul commitment. When one makes that confession and is baptized, we make a commitment to Christ, a lifelong commitment. Not just a temporary commitment, but a lifelong commitment. How do we commit to God? How do we commit to God? We cannot see, but not commit to people that we can see. It's that whole idea of I'm going to commit to Christ, and I see his word, I see his creation, but I've never physically stood there in front of him and talked to him and shook his hand and listened to him speak to me verbally. But I can make a commitment to you. How can I make a commitment to him but not to you? So the idea of making a commitment is lost in our day and time. A handshake means nothing anymore for most people. Let me retract that. For a lot of people, a handshake doesn't mean anything anymore. Your word doesn't mean anything anymore. So is your confession of faith and your commitment to Christ, does that have any meaning to it? We as disciples must be committed in all things. Does your word have any value? Every word that's spoken must have value to it. Training as an athlete and training as a Christian, if you're going to commit all this time to training as an athlete, you should spend twice as long committing as a Christian. So yes, Christians do require training. It's not enough just to read. We must study. We must engage. And I was thinking about this afternoon, Andrew's evangelism efforts class that he's going to have here. That's training. for all of us. We should none of us should assume that we've got the answers. We know how to do it. We've got it. It's a piece of cake. No, we all need to train. We need to constantly work. And I would encourage all of you to come to this class because we all have different approaches. Some of us have no approach at all. But we all need to have that ability to teach in some way. Both an athlete and a Christian both require commitment, dedication, and hard work. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Plus, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. The New American Standard Version puts it, and I really like the way he puts it in that version. It says, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Verse 27. We must be temperate in all things. Verse 26. Self-restraint. As committed athletes, as committed Christians, we say no. We must be in control of ourselves. No one else can control you except you. And the decisions you make are your decisions to live with. And so as a committed Christian, we have to have control over ourselves. Self-discipline, we must bring our passions into subjection. And again, learn how to say no. There are rules we must follow. We've talked about that. The rules that we follow are right here. Right here. We must run to win. We must run to win. We must want the victory to win. We must want it. We must desire it. We must long for it. Despite the discouragement that goes on around in this world, we have to long for that. We have to have the right attitude and a desire to win the race. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We must run with confidence, knowing the prize that awaits. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 4 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Have you heard that before? Have you heard verse 14? I think maybe for the last 11 and three quarters months, we press on. As athletes, they press on. They don't give up. Has anyone watched a race in the Olympics? Like a 100-yard dash. One of my favorite movies, Chariots of Fire. One of my very favorite movies. And they strive so hard to win that one race. Do we strive like an athlete to win the race and have a home of heaven? Do we strive for that? Lesson number 3. Talked about the disciples' battle. As a soldier of Christ, we are a member of his army. We are marching forward. We're marching forward with the truth. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. The battle we fight is all around us. And our commander is right next to us. Can we lose in this battle with Christ by our side? Answer that in your heads. Can you lose this battle with Christ by your side? No. You can't. We have an enemy, although we're supposed to love everyone, love all neighbors. We have one, and that's the devil. And he will use whatever tool he can in the battle against us as soldiers of Christ. The devil's greatest achievement is convincing the world that he does not exist. And I've mentioned that in class. Think about the devil. If I believe he doesn't exist, what do I have to worry about? Nothing. I don't have anything to worry about. We have the weapons we need. We have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, preparation for the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation and the word and the sword, which is the word of God. We have all of our tools. We have the greatest weapon, which is the word. Excuse me. We've got the greatest weapon. We've got the greatest ally, which is Christ. We must train. And reflecting back on the athlete, as a soldier, we must be prepared. Soldiers do not train to sit on the sideline. Athletes don't train to sit on the sideline. They train to play. We train to win for Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we must fight. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we must wrestle against the world. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 6 through 9, we must resist. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 and John 15, 18 and 19, we must endure hardship. The battle is ours to win. It's not ours to lose. It's like an open book test with unknown amount of time. The answers are right here. So, it's ours to win. We must not yield to those against Christ, but always stand for the truth. Always. In the most difficult situations, we always stand for the truth. As a soldier of Christ, as a soldier in an army, they don't yield. They continue to press on. They continue to press forward. Because they want to be victorious. We should want to be victorious in this battle. Lesson number 4. The potter and the clay. The disciples' transformation. We learn that we are molded by the truth and by God. God is our potter, and as we learn, we are formed into a vessel that brings honor and glory to our Creator. Brings honor and glory to Him. Our potter knows us. Let's turn to Psalms 139 for me, please. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. All of my ways. He knows us. And he knows that the truth can mold us. And as the potter, he is there to mold the clay that we are. He cares for us, Luke chapter 12, knows what is best for us. He knows what's best for us, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he has a plan for all of us. And we know what that plan is. It's to be saved. to have that eternal home with Christ Jesus. If you're still in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made a secret and skillful wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. So he has a plan for all of us. He's known us from the very, 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 very beginning. He will know us in the end. As the clay, we must surrender. We must have faith, humility, meekness, and obedience. And I'm sure there are a few other words that I've probably left that we could include there. But all these are required as the clay, and as we accept the truth, God molds us into what we become. It's God's teaching that forms us. This mold has a purpose. We are to be honorable and useful in His kingdom. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But is the great house there where only one vessel of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Finally, we are a clay that God will never throw out. Never throw out. He will work with us as long as it takes to be the vessel that honors Him. Maybe a potter doesn't get everything right perfectly. God will, but it's up to us to bring that in and to become the children that He wants us to be. But He will never throw us away. He will never give up on any of us. Lesson number 5. The vine and the branches, the disciples' dependence upon Christ. We should all be able to sit here and say we are 100% dependent on Christ. You can't do it yourself. Not by a long shot. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. John chapter 15 and verse 5. God is the vine dresser. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. We are the branches. Without the vine, we do not exist. To abide means to stay or remain. We stay with Christ. We stay connected to Christ. We link ourselves. We don't prune ourselves away from Christ. We cling to Christ. We get even stronger. That branch grows in connection with that vine. Discipleship is not a whatever vocation. A whatever vocation. Think about that for a moment. It's not a whatever. It's very specific. The branch will never survive without the vine. We can't. If we did not have Christ, we would have no hope. And well, where would that leave us? I don't know. And I don't choose to speculate. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You will abide in my love if you keep my commandments. And that's the only way that this branch is going to stay attached to that vine, is by keeping His commandments. If we abide in Christ, we will be like Christ. living the life as he is the example. We will bear fruit. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We will experience spiritual growth and maturity. Verses 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, this is us, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In order for us to grow, we have to possess these. In order for us to grow bigger and be more connected to the vine each and every day, we must have these. We must add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. All of these things are required. We will be okay without pruning so we might grow. Well, we will suffer correction. That's okay. It's like being pruned. Get the rotten out to bring the good in. We might suffer. We might, if you use this illustration, the storm, for example, that came through, destroyed so many trees, even along the parkway. They were damaged. But if they have a good, solid, found, strong root, they will flourish again. We're not always going to be standing upright. You know, sin can come our way and cause us to need to be pruned. And that's okay, to be corrected. That's okay. Because for every rotten experience we have in life, if we take the time to learn from that, we will be that much stronger. And our connection with Christ will be that much stronger. We will long to be connected with the vine that gives us the life we need. Have faith, knowing that our prayers will be answered. And we will glorify God forever. These are the first five lessons that I wanted to talk about this evening. We could go on and on and on. Being a disciple of Christ has its responsibilities. It has a price that we pay. But it's a small sacrifice to pay and to give up for that eternal home that waits for us. But if that eternal home is not yours, if you are not the child of God that you are supposed to be, if you have not made that confession of faith and become that child of God, the hope is not there for you. Or if a brother or sister, as brothers and sisters, you have stumbled, you have fallen away, you've struggled with something that might have separated you from Christ, if it's done privately, you need to go to them and go to him in prayer and ask for his help, ask for his forgiveness. If it's done in a public way, we're here for you. We're here to encourage you. We all want to have that eternal home. We all want to see each other when that time comes. So if anyone has a need this evening to make that confession of faith or to become a child or to make correction in your life, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.